mumble, mumble lyrics. Mumble, mumble, twilight, mumble, yeah.
All systems go.
Frogcast.
Here I am again, mama.
This is my boomstick.
To let me in, I swear I won't.
You can't handle the truth.
Don't you know that I've been playing.
Because you're a faggot, all right?
Rolling it over in
the so you will listen to every damn word I have to say.
You want to steal a purse? You want to steal a movie? I'm sorry. I just watched a DVD. I saw that stupid ad. It's hypocritical. It really pisses me off. All right, Hollywood has been ripping us off with promises of a good movie, with shoving stupid crap down our throat for years, for decades, and now they're saying, "Well, you wouldn't steal a purse. You wouldn't steal a movie. Go somewhere." Do something to yourself, all right? I'm sorry. Welcome to podcast Frogcast number 2, Thanksgiving weekend, and, American Thanksgiving weekend, because we Canadians have the real Thanksgiving back in October, you know, the real one? And we should give thanks to the internet, and I give thanks to the internet, that's for sure, because we were able to watch movies online and decide for ourselves. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to give a freaking cent to Michael Bay or Brett Ratner for your piece of shit movies that, I'm sorry, that nobody likes, but everybody still goes to see anyway. Transformers cost what? It cost $150, made $500,000, I think, something like that, domestic, made a huge, huge, huge bundle in international box office. Did it lose any money at all? Because I didn't go see it in theaters, because out of curiosity, I watched it online. Just to see the robo balls, you know, the robotic scrotum. I'm sorry, this movie did not lose a freaking cent because of me. Could have made more, didn't need to be made. Take that $150 million that, or $200 million that this movie costs, give it to charity, all right? It's going to be a better investment if you ask me. And besides, look at Radiohead. Big music band Radiohead. Of course, they're popular. They have their own following, but still, Radiohead hasn't really been on the radio. They haven't released any singles for years, but they still release a lot of albums. And the last one I think was called In Rainbows. Might be a little bit behind, but yeah, I think the last one was In Rainbows, and they premiered it online. People could download it for free, and via their website could donate whatever they want. I downloaded the damn thing. I loved it. I loved the album. I gave $10. I couldn't at the time give much more than that online. I gave $10 for the album, and I've heard that they still made a pretty decent chunk of money with that, with allowing people to pay whatever you want for that. So people listen to it. Do you like it? If you like it, please give us something to keep on doing music, which is, I think, the same thing for movies. Big Hollywood studio movies, just make them better. Don't spend so much on so fruitless special effects. Just make better movies for a little less, and you won't need to always make bigger and bigger and bigger movies to make money, to make sure people are going to go in theater. Make a good movie, people are going to go see it. And independent directors, independent movies benefit from people seeing their movie, the movies online free, because they're not going to have a wide release anyway. They're going to have a limited release in a few theaters for maybe a week or two, maybe like 10, 15, 20 theaters in New York City, and they're going to do a few festivals, and then it's going to go on DVD, where it's going to make the most of its money. So allow people to see them online, put out pre-release screeners free online. And if it's a good movie, which I think any independent director endeavors to do, if it's a good movie, word is going to spread and people are going to buy the DVD. I myself, I'm sorry, but I sold, if I should say so, a lot of movies that I watched online for free. I decided to buy the DVD, circulated the DVD around people. I made watch it. Love those movies, bought the DVD for themselves. So I think it's a great marketing tool. I think it's hypocritical, and it's starting to piss me off, those things that, you know, you're stealing our movie. I'm sorry, you're stealing my time a lot of times out of the year. You're really, you're screwing us with shitty movies like Michael Bay's shitty. I'm sorry, this guy should be locked away. He's made enough money, just go away, all right? Go live on an island somewhere. Leave us the thing alone, all right? Dual movies are not good. They're not entertaining. It's an insult. It's an insult to have us pay $20 to see a movie about a robotic scrotum. And that's what we're going to pay now, $20 to see a movie, according to what that guy, Jeffrey Katzenberg, wants. You know, that Katzenberg guy, used to be at Disney years ago, who says that because of illegal downloads, well, the studios are going to have to ask distributors to raise the ticket price for to watch a movie, especially for 3D, especially for IMAX. So we're talking about maybe paying now $20 to see a movie in theater because of us who watch movies online. I'm fucking sorry, but The Dark Knight did not lose a fucking cent because of me, nor, again, Transformer, nor a lot of the blockbusters. Make good movies, you're gonna make money. Make good movies and publicize them well, like little movies, and you're gonna make money. So, Jeffrey Katzenberg, I'm sorry, man, but...
Douchebag of the year!
If the boot fits, Jeffrey, my man, well, you know the rest. So again, I don't especially condone illegal downloads. I don't condone people going with their little camcorder and filming a movie. But I am for a certain level of distribution online, allowing people to discover movies online and decipher themselves if they want to buy it or not. And usually it's going to be a really good tool. If the movie is good, people are going to buy it, people are going to see it in theaters, people are going to talk about it, are going to spread the word about it. So, I don't know, not necessarily bad thing.
Morning, dear. What's for breakfast?
Mama John's Pizza Bagels. 8 cheesy pizzas on a thin, flaky crust. Now pizza's for breakfast.
Pizza's not for breakfast! Ah!
Ah! Mama John's Pizza Bagels. Now pizza's for breakfast.
You made me do this!
I wanted to have a section about movie news for this week, but it's been an absolutely wasteland of movie news. Everything online this week has been either pictures or trailers or who's not going to do what, which we don't really care about. So no real news to report this week. Nothing interesting. So instead, let's go directly to a movie review.
I've been watching you a la 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 long, a la 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 long, 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 long. Come on, a la 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 long.
Any movie you're gonna watch, any movie at all, would it be independent movie or big blockbuster or medium-sized generic romantic comedy, will usually be made or broken by the opening scene, by the maybe 4 or 5 minutes opening of the film. I watched a film recently called 100 Feet. Which was supposed to be a really good underground independent horror movie, and I watched the first 30 minutes. It was so boring, so boring. The opening of the movie is just completely nothing at all, that after 30 minutes just stopped watching it. Was it good? I couldn't say. I hated the first 30 minutes. I think it was boring. But I watched yesterday a movie called Veronica Decides to Die. Movie that hasn't been released yet. It's been circulated in many festivals. It opened at Cannes last year, and it's not available yet. It hasn't been really released in theaters yet. It's not available on DVD yet. I got a screener copy of it, and there are a few lengths to the movie, but the opening is so absolutely fabulous. It's so extraordinary, beautifully made, that it sets the tone for the absolute rest of the movie, and you're just inside the movie all along because of those 5 minutes. The movie is from Emily Young, a relative unknown director, a beautiful beautiful eye for lensing and framing and filming, shooting the film, but she hasn't made much yet. I would, however, recommend keeping an eye on her. But there's a lot of women making their mark these days in movies. I think that's absolutely extraordinary. They have a lot to say. They have a different perspective on how to make a movie. You just watch Twilight and New Moon, and you're gonna see the difference. I'm not saying those movies are great. I'm saying there's a huge difference between Catherine Hardwicke, the way she looks at a story, and the way a guy like Chris Weitz is going to look at a story. And you can see why women bring something more, something I think different that is needed in a movie. And Emily Young does that with Verica Decides to Die, which is based on the novel by Paulo Coelho, published in 1997. Now, like I said, the film is absolutely beautifully framed. You would see a mainstream studio movie with the same story would have been completely different. You would not have liked it. But the way she frames it, she lets the actor provide the ambiance, and she puts in music to help the actor further along. It's as if the music was played on set while they were filming to help the actor really create the atmosphere of the film. And the main actor is really probably the biggest surprise. It's Sarah Michelle Gellar, who I usually hate. I'm sorry, I'm not a Buffy fan. I thought it was really cheesy. I didn't get into it. I didn't like her post-Buffy career. Didn't like her much. She doesn't do it for me. She's just a little blonde bimbo. I thought she was funny in Southland Tales, but then again, Southland Tales wasn't that much accessible a movie, and she was playing a dumb blonde porn star in the film, which I think kind of maybe kill the rest of her career. But in here, she is absolutely mesmerizing. She's incredible, beautifully restrained. She lets what little dialogue is in the movie, because there's not a lot of dialogue in the film, which is great. I thought it was refreshing. And those movies usually have just they talk. That's what you think of when you think independent movie, to just talk to no end. But in this movie, economy of language is absolutely perfect for her. You see a great restraint in her body language, in her facial expression. She lets the atmosphere and the story go through, and it's there's no other way to see it. You have to really watch her work. It's absolutely fabulous. She's supported by David Thewlis and Melissa Leo. She's not really known, Melissa Leo. She's one of those actresses that you're gonna see. Can I say I know her? I've seen her somewhere, and you don't really recognize her entire body of work when you see her. But she's always good in anything she does, and she brings absolutely great presence here, great support. The film is about well, Veronica, who indeed decides to die. She lives a boring, mundane life, which is explained in a voiceover at the start of the movie, in that fabulous opening of the movie. And again, it's not a kind of narration of or voiceover that's heavy, or, you know, like Blade Runner. It was absolutely unnecessary. You don't need that to tell you what's going on. But in this case, it's a compliment. It adds to what you see on screen. It adds a completely different perspective to what you're being watching, to make you understand what this character goes through. And instead of telling you exactly what you have to know, what you have to think, it doesn't force feed you the narrative of the story. It just lets you really take it in, really understand the big picture. Absolutely fabulous opening scene. Again, I'm sorry to talk about that one again, but it really impressed me. So Veronica decides that she's had enough of her mundane life. There's no point going on. She tries to kill herself, which she fails, but she wakes up after her attempt in the in mental asylum, where she is told that her suicide attempt damaged her heart, so she has very little time to live. So she has to decide what she's going to do with the rest of her time. Is she going to try to make it even shorter, or is she going to try and do whatever she did not have the courage to do before? Will she try to live a full life or whatever she has left? Absolutely beautiful film. Amazing soundtrack. I've seen movies try to mix musical, not musical, but classical genre with maybe more independent music, with rock music, with popular music, they don't usually really fare well. That's one of the shortcomings of Twilight and New Moon. I thought that was really lame. But in this movie, again, the fabulous opening of the movie, the suicide attempt with pills. There's no really gore in the film. I'm sorry for gore fans. I'm not a big gore fan, but in this film, beautifully made. The opening scene is his suicide attempt by pills. And it's played to Radiohead's Everything in Its Right Place, which is so fitting. It's absolutely haunting. It's haunting how much these things fit together. And then later on in the film, you see the character playing music, and she plays beautiful classical music. She plays Debussy, I think, which fits perfectly well with everything else that's been playing in the movie. Amazing soundtrack. So this one is easily... It's going to be released officially next year, probably in limited release. So I'm going to have to say next year is going to be my favorite. But from all the movies I've seen this year, it easily ranks in the top 10. Might make the top 5 on my annual list. So I really recommend it. Emily Young's Veronica Decides to Die. Even better, read the book. The end twist is pretty much the same. So if you want to keep the surprise, just watch the movie, then the book. But yeah, I have to recommend this one extremely warmly. I hope it's going to have at least a mildly large release, because it's really worth seeing it. Or again, I talked about online, if you happen to catch it online, watch the film until it comes out on DVD, then buy the DVD. It's really, really worth it. Beautiful film.
Hey, just a sec, I'll check. Amanda Hug and Kiss? Hey, I'm looking for Amanda Hug and Kiss. Why can't I find Amanda Hug and Kiss?
Maybe your standards are too high.
You little SOB.
Please release me, let me go.
New releases this week in theaters. First of all, Old Dogs, the new absolutely forgettable comedy from Robin Williams, John Travolta. I'm sorry, it just looks bad. I saw the trailer, it looks stupid. I don't even know what it's about. It's a guy who tries to reconnect with a kid, and I don't know, he does stupid things. That's really lame. Guys, you used to be good, both of you. Please do something with your careers. I'm sorry. Ninja Assassin from James McTeague, director of V from Vendetta, and who was also a DP for the Wachowski brothers on The Matrix and other movies. Looked quite cool from the trailer, but the advanced review says it's not that interesting. It's a little bit lame. It kills the ninja genre. I don't know. I'm honestly going to watch it when it comes out on DVD. I'm curious. I can't go to theaters. I don't have time. But I am interested from this one, so I don't care what the review says. I am going to watch it. Also, The Road. I'm a little bit torn about this one. I started reading the book. It was just too depressing. It was good. It was well written. Just really so fucking depressing that after maybe 5 or 6 chapters, I put it down. It was putting me down completely, so I put it down. The film just looks beautiful, beautifully made, looks to have great performances from Viggo Mortensen especially, but it looks just as depressing as the book. So I don't know, probably gonna wait until it comes on DVD to maybe watch it then, but I'd like to keep my optimism about the world, which is already bleak as it is. Richard Linklater's latest film, I love that guy. I absolutely love Dazed and Confused. I love his involvement in American Prince, a documentary on Stephen Prince. I love almost everything he does, except School of Rock. Just Jack Black's stint is... His stuff is getting old quick. So I didn't like School of Rock, but everything he does, I think Linklater is absolutely great. It's worth having a look. Me and Orson Welles, I'm almost an Orson Welles scholar. For me, it's a special interest. It has Zac Efron, but from the look of the trailer, doesn't look to be that bad, in spite of Zac Efron. So, but there's a guy named Christian McKay in there, whom I've never heard about before, who plays Orson Welles, and he's absolutely mesmerizing. Just from the trailer, I'd give the guy an Oscar right there and then. also has Clara Danes, beautiful woman. I'm sorry, I don't know why people don't really like her. I think she's one of the most beautiful women working right now in Hollywood. I like her, again, in everything she does, even if it's not a good movie, she's always cool to watch. yeah, I think my pick, if I had to go to theaters this week, would be me and Orson Welles. Those are the releases this week, but probably New Moon's gonna drop them all off again. I'm sorry. I didn't think New Moon was as disastrous as everybody says it is. And what's really peculiar about this is that a lot of people who put it down are people who didn't see the movie. And some of them haven't even seen Twilight, so I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of films that I put down that I haven't seen, but before being so mean to it, give it a chance. There are qualities to New Moon, visual qualities. I think Taylor Lautner does a fabulous job. Billy Burke too. All the supporting cast around the main two boring jobs do a great job. So don't put it down too much. But again, not a film that I think should be making as much money as it's making right now, especially coming from a badly written novel. But yeah, I really definitely predict that it's going to, again, for a second week, be on the top of the box office charts.
In retrospect, lighting the match was my big mistake, but I was only trying to retrieve the gerbil. Eric Tomaszewski told bemused doctors in the severe burns unit of Salt Lake City Hospital. Tomaszewski and his homosexual partner, Andrew Kinky Farnham, had been admitted for emergency treatment after a felching session had gone seriously wrong. I pushed a cardboard tube up his rectum and slipped Raggett, our gerbil, in, he explained. As usual, Kinky shouted out, "Armageddon!" My cue that he'd had enough. I tried to retrieve Raggett, but he wouldn't come out again, so I peered into the tube and struck a match, thinking the light might attract him. At a hushed press conference, a hospital spokesman described what happened next. The match ignited a pocket of intestinal gas, and flame shot out the tube, igniting Mr. Tomaszewski's hair and severely burning his face. It also set fire to the gerbil's fur and whiskers, which in turn ignited a larger pocket of gas further up the intestine, propelling the rodent out like a cannonball. Armageddon! Armageddon! Tomaszewski suffered second-degree burns and a broken nose from the impact of the gerbil, while Farnham suffered first and second-degree burns to his anus and lower intestinal tract. Time again!
That is all I have for this week's of the Frogcast. I was supposed to have a few guests. Actually, I had sent 5 invitations. A few of them were accepted, but all of them bailed out at the end. Unfortunately, I'm not enough of a popular guy to have guests on the show. At least, not impressive guests. Although there is one movie director who promised me an apparition, so hopefully we'll have him soon. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Maybe with some guests on, but with sure something to say about movies, because there always is something to say about movies. Have a good week, have a good Thanksgiving, and be sure to drop in on the blog this week, canuckcritic.blogspot.com. Also watch out for the Swan Diary blog and All Things All Vampires All the Time blog, which I've been asked to write a few entries for every week. And well, the Frogcast next week will be there. Goodbye.
Brother down, cause another